Hey guys, just want to take the time to thank you guys again. I know I do this typically before a lot of the episodes that you guys listen to, but it does mean a lot, those of you that are listening. I do this myself a lot of the times, and I'm talking to myself for anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour, so it can be a little taxing, but I do want to be able to give you guys more quality episodes for you guys to listen to and for you guys to take that information from these episodes and apply it to fantasy sports or sports in general, things like that. So I really do appreciate you guys listening. And between work and everything and juggling some stuff, I do really want to work out some sort of an outline and work on my own ranking system. And then I think once I get my own ranking system down, I'll be able to kind of, you know, have a better outline for episodes for you guys. So I just want to thank you guys again. I appreciate anybody who listens, and I hope you guys enjoy the latest episode of the Sports Euphoria podcast. Thanks. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, however it is that you may be listening, or however, wherever it is that you may be listening. Welcome to another episode of the Sports Euphoria podcast. This is where we are going to be reviewing week 7 in the NFL from a fantasy perspective, and also talking about waiver wire ads and who to focus on depending on your situation. If you hear me interacting with anybody or talking to anybody on Twitch, I am live on Twitch at Sports Euphoria on Twitch and live on my Facebook page as well. So if you do hear me answering any questions by any for any reason or interacting, that is who I'm referencing. That is who I'm talking to. If you want to watch the VODs on Twitch, you can. Episodes do also go up on YouTube. So, what is going on, King? How's it going? I know. I'm sorry. You know, errands have to be run. Dinner's got to be made. Just got to get shit done sometimes. So with that being said, though, we're going to kind of just jump right into it. I hope you guys had a good week. I was wrong about Joe Burrow. We're just going to start off with that. All right. Sounds bueno. Perfect. Appreciate it. Very wrong about Joe Burrow. I said, don't play Joe Burrow. Probably don't play T. Higgins either. And that just backfired completely on me. Completely on me. I think T. Higgins had 15 targets. Yeah. Out of those 15, he had 7 for 62. But just don't... After what the Ravens did to them, to the Chargers and Justin Herbert, I'm like, there's no way. There's no way that the Bengals are going to do this. Ground and pound, it's a rivalry game, run it out. You just went everywhere. You were at the Celtics. Were the Celtics in New York then, I guess? And then, yeah, I did see the Daniel Jones catch. I was watching that live as well. But T. Higgins had a big game. C.J. Uzoma had a big game as well. And then Jamar Chase just did Jamar Chase things. Most yards as a rookie in his first 7 games ever. You just went all over the place then, King, didn't you? So... Yeah, Joe Burrow lit it up. I went up against Joe Burrow in one of my leagues. Thankfully, I snuck one out, and he had Austin Eckler in, and Eckler was on a bye, so I got very fortunate there. I was wrong about Burrow. This game, Lamar Jackson, you know, not one of his best games, under 50% completion. 88 rushing yards, though. Devontae Freeman picked him up and started him. Not too good on the carries, but he did get me a touchdown. He also had 3 catches for 25. So he got me about 12 points, I want to say, in PPR. And then I did have Marquise Brown as well, so the touchdown kind of saved me. If you're on Twitch or Facebook, you'll see what I'm showing, my screen and stuff. I don't know what's going on there. I'm not really sure what's going on right now. Anyway, this is weird. They must have updated this or something. I guess I'm not really sure, but I did win. In my league, I'm very fortunate. The Malcolm Brown, Marquise Brown, I can't even talk right now. Jeez. Touchdown did save me. DK Metcalf's catch won the game for me as well. Was very, very fortunate. So we're just going to leave that there as I was fortunate with that. But on that, nothing too crazy. You know, not really sure what's going on with Latavius Murray. Got to stay up to date with that. With the Ravens running backs, kind of see how that's going. But I still do, again, like Devontae Freeman. He's the guy that got a majority of the carries. They were just behind early. They were playing catch-up, so it wasn't going to be much of a running game. If they can get up early and often, they will run the ball more. But again, Freeman looks good. Like, he looks good. Tyson Williams, 2 carries for 10 yards. I'm not really worried about that. Marquise Brown, though, had 14 targets. He's just a target machine. You know, Rashad Bateman had 6, 3 for 80. You know, it was a good game by him. Mark Andrews, 3 catches. Jamar Chase, like I said, the Jamar Chase things. T. Higgins is also going to be a person to look at. Real quick, so Joe Mixon and Samaje Perine were both saved by touchdowns. I have Perine in my one league. It's a 25 roster, super flex, no defense, no kicker. I might actually be starting him this week because it looks like it's a split. And they're playing the Jets, I believe. So I think he's going to get some garbage time. So I should be okay with that. He's been averaging almost over 4 yards a carry every game this year, P. Ryan. So if they want to give Mixon a break going up against the Jets and things like that, I don't really blame them there. But yeah, so that was the Ravens and the Bengals. Like I said, super, super off on Burrow. Going to lead with that game. I apologize. But I did say pick up Devontae Freeman if you needed somebody, and he got a touchdown. He did what he was supposed to do. He definitely helped me win my lead with that touchdown, so I can't be mad at that by any stretch of the imagination. Next, we'll go Cleveland-Denver. Bridgewater did not have the greatest of games. He was playing hurt. Just wasn't. Oh, wait, this was a Thursday game. I take that back. We reviewed that. I'm so sorry. Washington, Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers things. 3 touchdowns. Also led the team in carries. Oh, Aaron Jones led the team in carries. I'm going nuts. I'm losing my mind. This is boom. Tired. Jeez. Just 6 carries for Jones. That's a little weird to me. I'm going to be honest. Would have thought they had more, but could have just been game flow. Washington's defense is terrible, but their rush defense is pretty good. Real quick, Alan Lazard and Devontae Adams both tested positive for COVID. Devontae Adams is a possibility to play because I believe he had tested positive yesterday. Alan Lazard tested positive today. So I don't think Lazard's going to be available. He was going to be a top waiver wire ad. However, now that he's going to be on the COVID IR reserve list, I do not see him playing. So look for a big game from Randall Cobb. Look for a game from Martez Scantling. Should have a big game as well, given the circumstances with Lazard. Like I said, they have a nice Thursday game against the Cardinals, so we're going to see how that game goes. Should be interesting. I'll preview that on Friday or Saturday. A.J. Dillon lost a lot of his trust, probably at 2 fumbles, kind of showing he's not really worth it yet as a true handcuff or split backfield for Jones. On the Washington side, Heinicke could have had a better game if he did not give himself up early on a touchdown. He was running. He didn't want to get Daniel Jones, so he dove down. His knee hit before the ball crossed the plane. So after a quarterback, for protection purposes, when you dive down, you're giving yourself up. So it's when you start your dive. Or when the knee hits the ground, I apologize, where if you're not touched, players, they allow like a receiver running back to complete their, like, to wherever they're touched. Quarterbacks, it's once you're down to save them. So that was 1 touchdown he lost. And then on the same drive, he tried reaching a ball over and they ruled that not a touchdown. So that would have been a rushing touchdown for him. His numbers would have been a little bit better. I believe he finished with about 22, depending on your scoring, but that's with 6 points per passing touchdown. I still do like Heinicke to play because the defense is just that bad. He's going to be a streamer because they're going to have to throw the ball. He had a better game. The interception, you know, a little fluky from what I remember seeing. So I wouldn't, you know, he's taking shots. They're getting their butts whipped on a regular basis. So he's going to have to take his shots downfield. Antonio Gibson with a stress fracture in his shin and then a calf injury ended up carrying the ball 14 times. Heinicke led the team in yardage with carries for 95. Again, he can run, so that was a good game for him. Those are sneaky yards he can get you. McLaurin had a huge game on 12 targets, 122 yards and a touchdown with 7 catches. McKissick, I thought, would have had a little bit of a better game. He did not. He had 4 carries for 22 yards and only had... I mean, he did have 4 catches, so he did kind of get you maybe like 9 points, but you would have thought it would have been a little bit better, but they clearly were trying to control the game clock. I'm interested to see what would have happened had the touchdown by Heinicke counted. I definitely think that the outcome of the game would have been maybe a little bit more different. The Packers may have tried to run the ball a little bit more, but nonetheless, here we are. And Ricky Seals-Jones did Ricky Seals-Jones things, getting you at least 11 in PPR. And you can't ask for much more than that with the tight ends the way that they are this year. But, you know, shit happens. Falcons, Dolphins, real quick. We're going to, you know, dive into this fast. Matt Ryan, I had said it last week. he's the guy to play. And I also had said Tua is somebody else to stream, depending on your quarterback situations, if you're looking for people to stream. Gaskin had a better game than anticipated, I think. I think a lot of it had to do with Malcolm Brown getting hurt a little bit, you know, earlier in the game. Salvon Ahmed, Ahmad, however it's pronounced, at 7 carries for 26. I believe he is a threat to Gaskin. He also had Gaskin had 4 catches for 10 yards, and Ahmed had 2 for 26. So again, there, I believe I have Ahmed on my bench in a dynasty league. Just something to look at if Gaskin, they can't get him going consistently. Mike Gesicki, Jalen Waddle both had 7 catches. Gesicki's been playing out of his mind. He got off to a very slow start. I don't think a lot of people, I don't know if Tua was afraid to use him, but he's just a freak. He lines up as like a wide receiver half the time. He's a big body. He's quick. He has great hands, very animated. He comes from, you know, from tight end U. I say that jokingly, but, you know, Penn State, Pat Freiermuth, you know, Mike Gesicki. Penn State's been pumping out some pretty good tight ends recently. I believe, is Heath Miller one? I don't know off the top of my head. But Tua, you know, played well. 2 interceptions. He's got to clean up the picks a little bit, and the Dolphins can win more games. They are looking for Deshaun Watson to possibly trade Deshaun Watson, and Washington could be, you know, in play as well. It's a 3-team deal, but I mean, I would probably just trade Tua for Deshaun and maybe another pick if you're Miami to Houston because of what you're getting, but it's above my pay grade. But yeah, Jalen Waddle, he's some rapport with Tua, which is good to see. Obviously, since Tua's come back, he's been a little bit more consistent. Again, 7 catches. Mac Hollins had the touchdown. I just think it was a matter of the play development. Tua saw him open. He caught it. It was a great catch. Nothing really crazy there. Deeper leagues, if you need somebody with no, you know, Will Fuller, somebody to just take a look at in super deep leagues, they do tend to run a bunch of 3 tight end sets, I believe, but they use Gesicki as a wide receiver. So that's going to take targets away from Hollins because they do have conventional tight ends and then use Gesicki as a receiver. So just keep that in mind. Atlanta, like I said, Matt Ryan, 2 TDs, 1 interception, you know, 336 yards. Good game by him. Cordell Patterson was the lead running back with 14 carries. He touched the ball a total of 16 times. Mike Davis had 4 carries for 10 yards, did get hurt and leave the game. Wayne Gallman had 1 carry for 2. So it might be something to take a look at in deep leagues, depending on how bad Mike Davis's injury is. However, with both Russell Gage back and Calvin Ridley, you might see Patterson go more of the running back role with the weapons that they have. Oh, and they have this guy named Kyle Pitts, who had 8 targets, and 8 of those and 7 of those 8 targets were caught for 163 yards. This guy is unguardable. Unfreaking guardable. I took him in the 3rd round of my dynasty league. I took him in whatever drafts I could get him in, figuring early in the season he's going to suffer. It's going to be a little slow. You know, trying to figure things out, what's going on, NFL, new game. He does line up in the traditional tight end position sometimes. However, I also feel like he's plays a lot of receiver like Gesicki, so it was really nice to see 2 tight ends on National Tight Ends Day to do well. A lot of tight ends did do well on National Tight Ends Day. Like we said, Uzama had 2 touchdowns. But yeah, Kyle Pitts drafted him, got him in Dynasty League. I also have Gesicki in my Dynasty League as well. 2 young tight ends. Very, very happy with them. Gesicki's up for extension, I believe, or can be a free agent in a year. So he's playing really, really well. I'm glad to see that. Gage had a nice touchdown on a deep pattern. Calvin Ridley had 10 targets, but 4 catches. So Ridley was the most targeted player for Atlanta. Didn't get a chance to see all of this game. But, you know, you kind of wonder what's going on with Calvin Ridley. You know, 10 target. It's not like him to not catch the ball. Could have just been, you know, how they were playing him. Byron Jones was on him or Xavier Howard. If you're playing that type, they could have just tried to take him away. And then they just kind of were just like, oh, we'll have Kyle Pitts beat us. There's no way he could do it 2 weeks in a row. And he did. Other than that, you're not really focusing on too much. deep leagues, like I said, Russell Gage. Super deep tight end leagues, maybe Hayden Hurst, because Pitts does play more of that wide receiver type role for the team. He does line up as a wide receiver. But yeah, Ridley, all those people, you know, you expect to see more from Ridley, and you probably will in the upcoming weeks. It could have just been a matchup game, and Matt Ryan was like, I'm just going to let, like, if you're giving me Pitts one-on-one, I'm going to just throw it to Pitts. It could have just been as simple as that. And, you know, Ridley could go off next week, but we'll see. We shall see what happens. But I did say Matt Ryan would be a start, and Tua would be a good streamer to have if need be, with the Bimageddon, Binado, by whatever you want to call it, we had going on there. Next, I'll go to the Jets. This will be real super quick for any Jets fans out there. Yeah. There's a lot more going on than, like, just fantasy relevance right here. Maybe Michael Carter, because he got you 8 catches and 67 receiving yards and 37 rushing yards. Corey Davis saved his day with a touchdown, 4 catches for 47 and a touchdown. So again, not a super terrible game by Corey Davis, but the Mike White touchdown did save Corey Davis's day by a ton. Elijah Moore had a rushing touchdown. He looks good. You know, he looks promising. You have a rookie coach and a babyface offensive coordinator for the Jets. This is not a good combination, in my opinion, and a lot of people in the media, in sports talk radio, have been saying this. The offense flowed better, had better flow with it with Mike White, because he wasn't trying to do too much. He was taking what the defense was giving him. He was not trying to make the big play like Zach Wilson tries to do all the time. It looks very Jamarcus Russell-esque. Now, I'm not saying Zach Wilson's a bust. But Jamarcus Russell also didn't watch game film. I'm not saying it's not Zach Wilson. I'm just saying that Jamarcus Russell would always try to go for that home run ball. He didn't know, you know, underneath stuff, what's that stuff? You know, if Zach Wilson just learned to check it down, the Jets would be way more competitive in these games, and your defense would be on the field all the time. The Jets could probably be 500 if Zach Wilson knew what he was doing. And he doesn't. And you have an offensive coordinator and a coach that are almost kind of just letting him just do what he wants instead of trying to, like rein him in. But, you know, these things happen. These things definitely happen. So what are you going to do? It happens. That's really it on the Jets side of things. Nothing too crazy there. Maybe the Joe Flacco signing helps Corey Davis, but that's the only person you're really playing on a consistent basis. I feel they're going to be down by a ton. Mac Jones, I did also talk about him being a player to stream and also a player to pick up and target on the waiver wire last week. Kendrick Bourne, if you had him as a quarterback, he had one pass for 25 yards for a touchdown. Damian Harris had 14 carries for 106 and 2 TDs. They just ran the scoreboard up. Brandon Bolden had a touchdown, 6 for 79. This was a Brandon Bolden game. Kendrick Bourne, I'll talk about him in a little bit, 4 for 68. You know, Jacoby Myers, 5 catches for 44, no touchdown, unfortunately. Hunter Henry had a touchdown. Ball kind of got spread around a bunch. J.J. Taylor had 2 touchdowns. I wouldn't read too much into this with J.J. Taylor. Stevenson was a healthy scratch. So, you know, there could have been something going on. So you just don't know about that. The lead back's Damian Harris, you know that. And I think Brandon Bolden's going to be the James White player going forward. So that is that there. However, on his 2 targets, Damian Harris did have 2 catches, so just something to keep in mind. I will talk about Kendrick Bourne later, but Mac Jones, beautiful game for Mac Jones. No turnovers, played very smart, love to see it. New England's going to be a problem for a long time again with this guy, I'll tell you that right now. That is for sure. Next, we're going to go to the Giants. I think I did say start Hunter Henry too in deeper leagues. Okay, so Sam Darnold got benched, threw an interception, James Bradberry. Love to see that for Bradberry's confidence, because he hasn't been playing well at all this year. So you really do enjoy seeing it. Then P.J. Walker came in and showed you why he should probably stay in the XFL. He went 3 for 14, 3 sacks for, you know, Sam Darnold went 16 for 25 and he was sacked 3 times as well, but P.J. Walker, you know, in cleanup situation, you don't expect him to do too well, but he lit up the XFL, and then we, again, realized why he would not be a good NFL quarterback and will probably go back to the XFL when that starts back up again. Sorry, buddy. You're a better athlete than I am. It happens. You know, if there's an XFL fantasy league, I'm taking you as my starting quarterback, though. I'll tell you that much. Chuba Hubbard, 12 carries, 28 yards. Giants defense showed up on Sunday. A buddy of mine was working a game. He said it looked fantastic. Everybody looked good. It looked really nice. The atmosphere was a lot better than people, I think, would have thought it was. So, you know, you just love to see that from the Giants defense. Who would have thought to start the Giants defense, you know? I mean, they had six sacks, an interception. It's just crazy to me. Let up 3 points. DJ Moore had 6 catches on 10 targets. Again, not a good game from the quarterbacks. I'm shocked DJ Moore didn't do better with it being the Giants defense, but the defensive line stepped up. You know, something Joe Judge must have hit home with them. They really showed up for sure. Robbie Anderson, 9 targets, 3 catches. My man, you're done. I'm glad you got your payday because it's over for you, bro. Sorry. I don't know what happened. Teddy, come back. Yeah, I think it's almost hard to start anybody in Carolina not knowing what's going on anymore. So, I mean, you're starting DJ and probably Chuba, depending on your running back situation. If you had McCaffrey, you're probably going to start Chuba. Unless you picked up like Khalil Herbert or Devontae Booker, I don't really feel comfortable playing Chuba because I just don't know how much they're going to be ahead of nowadays. You know, they had an easy schedule to start, and Sam Darnold was leading the league in rushing touchdowns and should just been a running back. He should have taken the advice that Lamar Jackson was given. Should have tried a different position. That being said, Dante Pettis, beautiful pass to Daniel Jones. Danny Dimes had a reception. Nice one-handed catch. Took a nice little hit. My man can play football. He's a football player, man. He's an athlete. He's absolutely incredible. He may not put up the most fantasy numbers, but from a perspective of actual NFL quarterback, he is showing you why the Giants need to extend him going into next year at the end of the season. One bad game against the Rams last week. He probably should not have played in that game, but it happens. I get it. I understand. Comes out this game looking sharp with no weapons. At all. So just keep that in mind. Again, no Andrew Thomas still. Offensive line is still in shambles. I think Daniel Jones will be the equivalent to an Eli Manning type guy. Super, you know, with between the mannerisms and his, you know, his demeanor. But you give him a good offensive line, you have a good running back, some weapons on the outside, build a defense. Daniel Jones, before he is done, will win a Super Bowl if he stays. He will win a Super Bowl if he stays with the New York Giants. If he does not stay with the New York Giants and he goes to another team, I firmly believe it'll be as a backup, and I don't think it, you know, and that's the end of his chances. But he could have that kind of Nick Foles type thing going on there. But I do think Daniel Jones, if the Giants hire Lewis Riddick, can win a Super Bowl with Daniel Jones at quarterback. That is my hot take. I don't know when. I'm not giving a timeline. I'm not, you know, whatever. So, I just think that Daniel Jones will be able to win a Super Bowl. Simple as that. Simple as pie. Devontae Booker had a garbage time touchdown-esque. Kind of put the game away. It was 18-3 at that point. Good to see, though. Nice little touchdown from him. Darius Slayton, you know, 9 targets, 5 catches. He's got to step up a little bit better. I didn't get to see all those throws. Evan Engram, 8 targets, 6 catches. Showed you he can play a little bit. So we'll see. You know, there's talks about Evan Engram being traded, possibly. You hate to see it happen, but it's probably going to. Especially with the weapons that they have, if they decide to keep Saquon Barkley, you know, they'll have Kyle Rudolph, they'll have Slayton, they'll have Shepard if they decide to keep Shepard. Tony, obviously, I think they let Shepard walk. They're going to let a lot of guys walk, I think, this offseason. So Shepard will walk because they'll have Tony. They have Galladay still. And you could find another player in the draft that can hopefully do something, or another free agent that you can, you know, come in and get to and sign for, you know, cheap that was injured or something like that. So they're going to let some people go. But nonetheless, we'll see. Daniel Jones did have 28 rushing yards. Elijah Penny got a lot of work as well, which is good because they want to, you know, obviously give Booker a break. I'm interested to see Monday night as well what Lewis Riddick has to say about the Giants, because if Lewis Riddick likes Daniel Jones, talks highly of Daniel Jones, talks highly about Joe Judge, the Giants need to hire him immediately. They interviewed him twice before they hired Gettleman. They need to interview and hire Lewis Riddick. He wants the New York job. He has Monday Night Football. He has a nice cushy job doing Monday Night Football, but he wants the job. Hire him, get it done. If he likes these people and he thinks he can win with Daniel Jones and he plays well against the Chiefs on Monday night on national television, you hire that man. All right? You go on TikTok and you understand the assignment, okay? This is your assignment, New York Giants. You need to hire Lewis Riddick and you need to, you know, finish that and do that and understand it. Yeah, King, me too. Anyway, oh, and Jabril Peppers ruptured his Achilles. So that's always fun. It happens. What are you going to do? What game do we have next? Kansas City, Tennessee. Kansas City, speaking of, playing the Giants next week. They look bad. Offensive line looks terrible. Defense looks terrible. I'm surprised Tennessee didn't put more points on them, considering it was the first half. It was 27-0 in the first half. That's a little concerning. They probably took their foot off the pedal, you know. But it happens. Derrick Henry showed you that if you need to throw a touchdown and be an MVP, he can do that. Why not? You know, he does that. Subpar rushing game for Derrick Henry, but they probably were like, we're not letting him beat us. Well, too bad he beat you with his arm. AJ Brown had a coming out party. 8 catches for 133 and a nice touchdown. Julio Jones, 2 for 38. He's not right. I also think he doesn't fit in well with the team yet. I think given another opportunity, he'll be able to fit in well. It'll be a good weapon, but they run through Derrick Henry. It's very much like any other team that would run through a running back or go through a running back. Their offense runs through him. It runs through Derrick Henry. They are run first, pass second. And AJ Brown's just a younger Julio Jones. So other than that, you know, Julio Jones, AJ Brown, those are the people that you're playing. And Derrick Henry, obviously. Mahomes, there was a concussion scare. The back of his head, you know, his neck got snapped back while he was trying to throw the ball. Did not look pretty at all. Chad Henne came in, finished the game, played well. You know, he's league vet, knows he's going to come in, do his job. Bad game by Williams, but for Darrell Williams, he was trying to obviously do what he could, you know, given the circumstances, but they're playing from behind, so Darrell Williams wasn't going to have a good game. Receive, it just all around, it wasn't a good game. They had a lot of catches. Kelce had 7 for 65. Hill had 6 for 49. Just, it wasn't a good game for the Chiefs. You're not, from a fantasy perspective, you're probably not going to panic too much yet on Mahomes. He's still extremely talented quarterback, especially his arm talent's through the roof. Tyreek Hill can get behind a defense any point in time. Mahomes, you know he has the arm strength to hit him, and Kelsey's going to get his regardless. So from a team perspective, you know, I got to figure something out. But Mahomes is playing very Zach Wilson-esque right now and trying to make every play he can to get his team back in the game, rather than just taking what the defense gives him. Sad to see, considering the man signed a contract a couple years back with incentives that's over $500 million. And by the way, he's what, 24? Oh, 26. He signed a contract, I think, last year. So it's up to, I think it was 450 mil for like 10 years or something like that. And with incentives, it goes up to 503. You know, wish I had a strong arm. Anyway, that's that game. Mahomes was cleared from concussion protocol, so he can play. You love to see that. That's good. He got out of the concussion protocol, and we'll see what happens. He has a lot of time to come out of it and see how he plays and practices, but they play the Giants. So we'll see what happens next week when the Giants travel to Kansas City. You know that's going to be on my radar, a nationally televised game for the Giants. Hopefully they can win something and show people that Daniel Jones is the real deal. Next game, we have the Detroit Lions and the Los Angeles Rams. This was a rematch of quarterbacks in revenge games for both teams, more so Jared Goff. Two former number one overall picks going up against each other for their, the TV show Wife Swap that they used to have on TV. This was quarterback swap. Jared Goff, drafted number one overall by the Rams, gets traded and then goes overall to, the Lions when they trade Matthew Stafford to the Lions. And that deal happened last offseason, and Sean McVay very excited to have Matthew Stafford, and it shows. Rams are 6-1. Dan Campbell for the Lions pulled out all the tricks he could in this game to try and get his teammate first win and, help Goff out a little bit. Fake punts, onside kicks. They tried, but the Rams are just a better team on paper, and talent won in the end. You love to see, though, DeAndre Swift, huge game. 13 carries, 48 yards. That's not where he got his big game from, though. Jamal Williams, 12 carries, 57 yards. Thought he was going to be, more of a handcuff type thing, but they did split the carries with him and DeAndre Swift. So that's encouraging if you have Jamal Williams. Hold on to him, obviously, in case something happens to Swift. He can have an injury for a week or so. Williams is going to be the play. So everybody said Amon-Ra St. Brown would be a pickup. I said it as well. I was off on that as well. Khalif Raymond had the game. 8 targets, 6 catches, 115 yards. Good game for him. They couldn't cover him. They just couldn't at times. Jalen Ramsey, ended up having to pick late to ice the game and seal it. But Khalif Raymond, man, he's somebody to definitely take a look at. Waiver wire ad, just saying. Tease. Not really. I told you what I was talking about. Anyway, DeAndre Swift, 8 catches, 96 yards. Finished the game with, 144 yards and a touchdown. He had a screen play that went for 63 yards to the house for a touchdown early in the game. That was great to see. It was a good game. It was a good game to watch. It was entertaining. The Lions were doing whatever they could to win. You love to see it. They really like Dan Campbell and really believe in Dan Campbell. And they were looking to bite some kneecaps. Matthew Stafford had another huge game against his former team for the past 10 to 11 years. 334 yards, 3 touchdowns. Cooper Kupp killed it again. 10 catches, 156 for 2 of those touchdowns. Van Jefferson also had a touchdown as well. And Robert Woods went 6 for 70. I still don't feel comfortable with Van Jefferson. I think it just depends. He was a guy that was open at the time. Cooper Kupp's the guy to have. Robert Woods is the second guy to have. And then in the receiving corps. And then obviously Darrell Henderson. Lions rush defense really showed up. Henderson at 15 for 45. But they just couldn't stop the pass. But Lions, man, they're buying in. Give them some talent. Give them some time. They'll be good. I like what Campbell's doing over there. It looks pretty. Whew. Sorry, guys. Solo again. Hoping to get, one of my co-hosts back shortly. Just having some computer issues. Next, we're going to go to the Eagles and the Raiders. Maybe 1 second, though. I think I might sneeze. Eagles, Raiders. This was a good game. I thought it would have been a little bit better, a little bit more high scoring. Jalen Hurts did what he's supposed to do. He got over 25 fantasy points. He just does it. He rushed for 61, had 2 touchdowns, and threw for 236. Miles Sanders went down. They're saying it's an ankle sprain of some sort. Waiting to see what the grade is and if it's high or low. but 6 carries for 30 yards. The man's been averaging an insane yards per carry average this entire season. You know, but you hate to see it. They wanted to get him involved early. They were trying hard. They really were. And, you know, these things just happen, unfortunately. But yeah, with no running game, I just feel like I like Jalen Hurts. And I was listening to some Overreaction Monday and some sports talk radio on Monday. And I just think that Hurts is not accurate, blah, 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 blah. You know, he's completing a little over 50% of his passes, between 50 to 60% of his passes, but his receivers aren't getting open. He has one good receiver. That's Devontae Smith. You take him away, there's nothing. So he's running around trying to find a receiver and then throwing the ball out of bounds. So he's trying. This is still only maybe his 12th game. Yeah, I get it. Joe Burrow was well and things like that. But he didn't, like, Joe Burrow was the starter to start the season last season. Like, he knew first, you know, blah, 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 blah. And Hurts, even up to week one, didn't know if he was in, they didn't name him the starter yet. They traded for Gardner Minshew. They just believe in Jalen Hurts. I get it. He's not your guy, but the guy can play. He's battled adversity. I really like Hurts from both a fantasy and real football perspective. I think they should definitely stick with him. So, I mean, we'll see. I have Devontae Smith for fantasy. I'm thinking about benching him next week. Dallas Goedert had a big game after the Zach Ertz trade. 3 catches for 70 yards. You really like to see that because, you know, it was Zach Ertz had a Dallas Goedert problem and Dallas Goedert had a Zach Ertz problem. You know, they're two really good tight ends still. Zach Ertz is still a very good tight end in the league. So they're just handcuffing each other. You know, it sucks, but it's true. Gainwell had 4 catches. You really like to see that. Smith is still leading the team in targets. But you're just, if you're taking him away, if you're bracketing him, if you're giving, you know, the corner help over the top, he's still young. He's still a young player who's going to be a very good player. I just know it, but he's the only, him and Goddard are the only people on the team that can catch the ball. You catch the ball, you know, consistently. It's so. Raiders, Derek Carr, crazy, crazy game. Carr had 34 attempts and completed 31 of them. 90% in the 90s for completion percentage. Crazy. Kenyon Drake. Now, Jacobs got hurt. It was a chest injury. Avoided it being a major injury. So you obviously glad to hear that. Kenyon Drake, though. It almost just goes to show you that John Gruden just didn't like Kenyon Drake. This head coach, interim head coach, does. 14 carries, 69 yards, and a touchdown. He's talented. He was talented when he was with Miami. They didn't use him right. Talented in Arizona again. What are you going to do? But if you don't have Kenyon Drake, he's available in your league, pick him up ASAP. If you have Josh Jacobs, pick him up. You got to pick him up. Josh Jacobs, obviously, you're going to play him as well if you have him. I thought Henry Ruggs would have had a better game playing the Eagles, but he did not. That is probably because Darius Slay ended up shadowing him. Because Darren Waller did not play. Ruggs had 4 for 24. Should have had a better game. But Foster Moreau, 6 for 60 yards. He filled in for Darren Waller nicely. Also had a touchdown. Bryant Edwards had a nice touchdown. Hunter Renfrow, man, PPR monster. That, you know, Julian Edelman, Wes Welker, you know, type player, man. Just going to get the hard yards, get the first downs. He knows where the sticks are. He's going to run, you know. 3rd and 7, he's running an 8-yard route. Just turn around, just catch it. 7-58. Love to see it. And Derek Carr, I don't see why you can't start him every week. Defense is good. They're going to have their moments. They're going to give up some touchdowns. But, you know, Derek Carr, top 2 in passing yards. Load him up on a consistent basis. Please. Next to Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, top 15, top 12 quarterback. Just saying, I think he might actually be top 10. So keep it in mind, people. Keep it in mind. Oh boy, this revenge game for DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt. Yeah, this is bad. This is just bad. Kyler Murray did Kyler Murray things. They got ahead early, so they kind of ran the ball the rest of the game. Chase Edmonds had 15 carries for 81 yards. I like to see that from Edmonds personally. Again, not being biased, but being a Chase Edmonds owner and having stock in Edmonds for not being the running back of the team just by default, 15 carries is good. 15 carries is real good. You know, he had one catch, but the 81 yards, a total of 90 yards in total. James Conner got the touchdown, you know, but James Conner, 10 for 64. Murray's not running much this year, so he's thinking about his health and he's making smart business decisions. Zach Ertz and AJ Green, the team in yardage, each had 66. Zach Ertz had a nice catch on the run on a pass from Murray where he ended up scoring his 47 yards. It was really good. Good downfield blocking from Kirk for that score. AJ Green had a big game, no touchdown. Hopkins had 7 catches, which you like to see again. You like to see him get the 9 targets and the 7 catches again. He's not getting you the yardage anymore, and his average yards per catch are lower than they used to be, but this team has a lot of weapons. So if he can get you 7 for 53, 8 for 66, and a touchdown and be kind of that Larry Fitzgerald-esque player, you'll take it, because in PPR, you're going to take it. You're definitely going to take it. So, but we'll see. Christian Kirk, 4 for 50 and a touchdown. Touchdown really kind of saved his day a little bit. He got 12, 13 points in PPR. Maybe even more than that, actually. 9, like 15 points. Rondale Moore, hate to see it, but just too many weapons. And now is Zach Ertz. Ertz, Green, and Hopkins are going to get theirs. It's a matter of when Kirk and them are going to get their catches. But Kyler Murray clearly starting him every week. Yeah. I don't even know if you could say Brandon Cooks is still a guy to play. Whenever the Texans play a bad team, they do well because they're a bad team. And whenever they play a good team, they do not do well at all. However, Davis Mills did have no picks, so that you like to see. They just couldn't do anything. They just couldn't do anything. So, shit happens. But, yeah, very, very scary about Brandon Cooks. But David Johnson had a nice game, 5 catches and for 27, and he also had 25 rushing yards. So, a little bit of a revenge game, though. They probably tried to get him going a little bit against his old team. But nothing too crazy there. Cardinals are 7-0. Not surprised. Bucks Bears. Not too much to talk about here, other than the only person you're probably going to be starting till Montgomery comes back is Khalil Herbert. He was able to get 100 yards on 18 carries against the Bucks. They're not doing any favors for Justin Fields by any stretch of the imagination. He has upside. If you have him, you can hold on to him. They just happen to play the Bucks. It's just one of those things. But I don't feel good about any other player except for Herbert on the Bears. When they get back Montgomery, then you play David Montgomery, but that's it. Tom Brady throws for 211 yards, 4 touchdowns. Didn't have to do a whole bunch. Didn't have to throw a lot of yardage because of the 3 interceptions and the 2 fumbles. So they got short fields to work on. Threw for his 600th career plus touchdown pass, so he was able to get that ball back because Mike Evans gave it to a fan. Chris Godwin had a huge game. I did talk about Godwin when Brown went down. I did say that would be a good idea to play him. So if you did hear that, hopefully you listened. Mike Evans had 3 touchdowns because, well, somebody had to catch him. O.J. Howard did not have a touchdown. Tom Brady missed him. So if you started O.J. Howard because Darren Waller did not play, like a buddy of mine, Nick, did, tough. And Fournette is the lead back. 15 carries, 81 yards and a touchdown. Ronald Jones did have 10 carries, but garbage time. But yeah, the Bucks just did what the Bucks do. Nothing too crazy there. Then we will go to Indy and San Francisco. This was an atmosphere river something or other. The rain just came down. It was weird. They were explaining on the broadcast. Super, super weird. But I missed that part of science class, I guess. Had a nice in-game parlay going on this game. And if Carson Wentz, those pass interference calls would have been called, weren't called, or the receiver caught the ball, I would have hit the Carson Wentz for over 199.5 passing yards, it would have been a nice payout. Just saying. I was right with the Jonathan Taylor. I was right with the Michael Pittman. Yardage. I didn't know about the rain, so it sucks. Jonathan Taylor did his things. 18 carries, 107 and a touchdown. Doesn't surprise me. Carson Wentz looked like the 2017 Carson Wentz. Had a weird fumble. It was ruled a fumble, not an interception. But didn't come back to hurt them. Just a sloppy game, if you watched it. Just super, super sloppy. So I'm not really taking this too crazy because it was just wet all over. It was just a shit show. San Francisco's got to figure something out about a quarterback. But again, I'm taking it from where it was coming from. Garoppolo's coming off the calf strain. Their rookie quarterback's hurt. So there's a lot of different variables going on. I think if they play in drier weather, I think Jimmy G looks better. The offense looks better and you're good to go. You do like to see Elijah Mitchell 18 for 107 and a touchdown. And then that was it. He disappeared for the rest of the game. It was basically on the first drive, but he looked good. He looked really good. He could definitely be their running back for years to come. And I see him and Raheem Mostert maybe splitting the backfield a little bit because Mostert is very talented as well. Brandon Ayuk drafted him, man. I'm sorry. Don't know what's going on with this guy. I don't like him, but they do like Debo. Debo had 7 for 100 and a touchdown. You're starting Debo. You're starting Elijah. That's all you're starting. Even when George Kittle comes back, I don't trust it. So just go with Debo and Elijah Mitchell. That's about it. Should be good that way. But yeah, nothing too crazy here. My guy, Mo Alie-Cox, who I talked about last week, 3 catches for 25 yards and a touchdown. He doesn't get the receptions. Like, he doesn't run a lot of the routes. He wasn't on the field for a bunch, but he capitalizes on what they give him. 3 targets, 3 catches. Michael Pittman had a nice game, you know. But again, I'm not looking at this crazy because of the weather. It's just an absolute shit show. The game last night, very low scoring. Very bad. Very hard to watch. Thankfully, I had to play softball last night, so I did not have to watch this entire game. DK Metcalf's 84-yard touchdown catch won me my league this week, though, my game, because Alvin Kamara went batshit crazy. He touched the ball 30 times, hit 51 rushing yards, because they were going to say, you're not rushing on us, but he had 10 catches for a buck 28 and a TD. I got nervous. Marquez Callaway, 3 catches for 32 yards on 7 targets. I don't blame those 4 missed balls on him. I don't think he dropped many. I just think they were bad throws, double coverage, things like that. Hopefully Michael Thomas comes back soon for New Orleans. I think that'll help out Kamara a lot and help out Winston a lot. But it's definitely going to hurt everybody else. So it could actually help Callaway not being the number one receiver. So Callaway's numbers could actually go up as a result of Michael Thomas coming back. Geno Smith, 1 touchdown, and that was to DK. Geno Smith had 167 passing yards, okay? 84 of those passing yards was one play to DK Metcalf. 167 minus 84 is 83. The entire rest of the game, 3.5 quarters, my man had 83 passing yards. On 22 attempts. 1 pass, 84 yards. 21 other passes, 12 completions, 83. Geno, my man. You're going to make him sign Cam. The Seahawks are waiting to get Russ back. They're trying. They're just too far behind right now, I think. Alex Collins carried the ball 16 times for 35 yards. And that was really it. I mean, they just don't look good with Geno. I'm just glad I have DK. Tyler Lockett's not doing much, and DK's just a big body. Guy's a freak. Huge body. But anyway, that's the games. Nothing too crazy. Nothing too, happening. The expectations were there. Saquon, I don't think, is coming back next week. Previews will be going on. I'm going to try to pump out other episodes, kind of highlighting different people and doing different things. I wasn't able to do so much prep work for this episode. So I do apologize about that. I am sorry. But real quick, I just want to go over a couple of the waiver wire ads for my leagues real quick. This is all based off of CBS, and CBS runs waivers for on Wednesday nights for Thursday. So I used to get them out on Wednesday, but then I'm like, oh, if you listen to it Thursday, like you have to listen to it Wednesday night. I get the episode out late. You should probably listen to it Tuesday for like listen to it. You should have Tuesday night and all day Wednesday to listen to it to put your claims in Wednesday night. So real quick, top three quarterbacks to target. Based on under 50% or less on CBS usages that I liked, I have Tyrod Taylor at number one, as he's designated to return from the IR and could do a little something with the team, make them look a little bit better. He was putting up over 20 fantasy points the first 2 weeks when he was playing. Mac Jones, somebody to add for later bye weeks, or if your quarterback's on a bye this week, I think they're starting to open up the playbook a little bit more for him. So that's somebody to look at. And then Taylor Heinicke again. He's just, you know, he's just there and defense sucks. So you need some, he's going to have to get points. You need somebody to throw the ball. That's what it is. He's going to bortle it up for you. Blake Bortles. I won a fantasy championship with Blake Bortles, by the way. Running backs, Brandon Bolden taking over that James White role. I like that there. He had a very good game. My buddy and I dropped him in one league this week. Bit us in the ass. We were going to lose anyway, but it happens. I like Samaje Perine as well, especially going up against the Jets, but he is the handcuff to Joe Mixon. When Mixon did not play or was expected to not play, Samaje Perine had a very good game. He's averaging over 4 yards per carry on the season so far. So, you know, he's somebody to take a look at. He's 18% owned. So next I have Mr. Kenneth Gainwell from the Eagles. With Sanders going down, Gainwell is the guy to take a look at for receiving, but he can also run the ball. He is smaller, but he's going to get you in PPR leagues. He's going to get you the receptions that you're looking for in the PPR, obviously, as a flex. And he could be the running back as well, but I think Boston Scott's going to end up being the traditional running back. He can catch the ball, but Gainwell's definitely going to be more of that pass catcher. And I think, I don't know, maybe they didn't like Sanders. Maybe the offense runs better with Gainwell there. We'll see. And then just receivers. Oh, I do have tight ends as well. I talked about him earlier. Khalif Raymond from Detroit. It's a crapshoot, but if you need somebody with bye weeks, he's, you know, go with Khalif Raymond. You know, he really only had one bad game against Minnesota, I believe. So maybe he wasn't feeling right, but something to take a look at. I do have Alan Lazard on here, but I would look for MVS. Or Randall Cobb in super deep, deep leagues. Because he is on COVID, he's not going to be able to play on Thursday. So, you know, we'll see though. And then I have Kendrick Bourne. So Jacoby Myers is the PPR guy for New England. He is the Julian Amin, Wes Welker type player. Over 100 catches, over 1,000 yards, no touchdown. Poor guy. But Kendrick Bourne is that, you know, Jamar Chase guy, the Justin Jefferson, the Darius Toney. He's going to take the top off of defense. They spent a lot of money on him to get him from San Francisco. And if Mac Jones builds rapport with him, you could see them going deeper and he can get you those big air yardage type plays. I like Kendrick Bourne. I think depending on what your receiver situation looks like, I really do believe if they continue to open up the playbook for Mac Jones, Kendrick Bourne can win you your leagues this season. If you don't need him, you got like, you know, Jamar Chase late because the whole preseason thing and drop balls, and you're able to, you have a good team. God forbid, knock on wood, one of those guys goes down. I do like the consistency that Bourne's going to be able to put out there. Myers was definitely the guy coming into the season that you wanted because, you know, Bourne didn't do anything in San Francisco. So you're really kind of like looking for something. And I think Bourne showed you, especially against the Cowboys, and especially, you know, this week, he's talented. But just take a look at Kendrick Bourne as well. I think you might be surprised, and he could put up some points for you, especially still with some bye weeks coming up. Giants, Eagles, you know, 10, 14, things like that. And then tight ends, I have CJ Uzama on there because, I mean, why not? He's shown you he can do some stuff. I just think against the Jets as well, Hunter Henry had a touchdown. So I think Uzama might be able to get another touchdown because they're probably going to try to take Chase away from them. So it could be a big game for Higgins and Uzama. Again, I have Mo Alie-Cox as my other tight end to target because he is more so in non-PPR, but I really wish they just allowed him to run more routes because Carson Wentz had tight ends in Philadelphia, had Goddard, had Zach Ertz for a while, You know, if he can build rapport with Alie-Cox, I really think he's somebody that you could take a look at, especially in keeper leagues or dynasty leagues. If he's available, definitely pick him up. Because even if he doesn't stay with it with Indianapolis, he may get an opportunity somewhere else. And then also Dan Arnold, because a rookie quarterback, his best friend, is a tight end. Coming off the bye, probably people dropped him. So if you can scoop him up, I think he's going to be a good option in leagues with bye weeks coming up and tight ends. He will get you catches. He'll get you at least 4 to 5 catches a game and then hopefully get you, you know, the yards as well. But, you know, we'll see. You definitely have to take a look and see what's going on. For sure. But, you know, you just kind of have to take it how it comes and see what happens. But definitely look at Randall Cobb for a couple different things for receiver. Because, like I said, I had Lazard on there and he's probably not going to be able to play. With no Dawson Knox, Cole Beasley might be another one because you're going to need somebody else to catch the ball. He is rostered in 64% of leagues, though. But again, just somebody else to take a look at. Devontae Parker, if he's available in leagues. If he can come back against Buffalo, you know, he looked like he was having some good stuff. Michael Gallup also comes off of IR for the Cowboys. Keep in mind as well, if you can, Dante Pettis or Darius Slayton, depending on who plays for the Giants next week. They play Monday, so their injury report for things like that. They don't start practicing until later in the week, so it's going to be after waivers. So if you pick them up, just get ready to, you know, I'd go for somebody else, and then if they end up, you know, go for other priorities. Go for the Khalif Raymonds. Go for the, you know, Cole Beasleys, Randall Cobbs, those types of guys. Even maybe T.Y. Hilton if he's available in your league because he'll be coming back. So just things, just different things like that. And then hopefully at some point, Josh Gordon. And then just take a look for Michael Thomas because he is supposed to miss extended time. So we will see. But that's going to do it, guys, for this episode. We're going to wrap it up there with just some people to take a look at. Like I said, I'm going to try to get out another episode if I can tomorrow or Thursday just to kind of break down and talk about different players, and I'm going to try to come up with my own rankings and go through and break down why and who I like and them and kind of, you know, see them season long, trading players, things like that. If you guys have any trade questions, I want to be able to talk about that. But yeah, I greatly appreciate anybody who stopped by, who was active in the chats on Twitch or Facebook. Thank you so very much. I greatly do appreciate it. I hope you guys have a great night. Anything I'm tweeting out or retweeting, you know, I'm going to try to get things a little bit more, like I said, organized. I know I say it every episode, but those of you guys that come by, you know, King on Twitch, anybody who it is, I know there's Mike who comes by on Twitch as well. You know, I'm trying. You got to start somewhere, and that's what I'm trying to do. I also feel like it is kind of half-assed at times, unfortunately, because I am solo sometimes, and it just... I have to talk a lot for the full time that I'm doing this. And, you know, I just want to give you guys the best show that I can, the best advice that I can, going over a couple games, who did what, my hits and my misses. But in time, I will have, you know, a little bit more of an outline and when I can you know, do things a little more consistently, I will definitely, you know, do that. But I appreciate you guys as always coming by. So thank you guys so much. Again, greatly appreciated. I will try to be going live either for the Thursday night game or before that. So yeah, I definitely, guys, like I said, I appreciate it. We'll do a preview game week or preview episode either Friday or Saturday, like always. And I'll try to see what's going on, like I said, with this and work on giving you guys the best show / episodes that I can. But thank you guys again. I really do appreciate it. I can't say it enough. I know I sound like a broken record, but those of you guys that listen or those of you guys that watch, it does go a long way. So thank you oh so much for taking the time out of your day and coming to listen to a guy shoot the shit about sports and fantasy sports. I really do appreciate it. Guys, have a great one. Don't forget to put your waiver wire ads in. If they run tonight, do it tonight. If they run tomorrow, do it for tomorrow. Let me know what you think. Guys, have a great night. Later.